1 Samuel, chapter 30, verse 1. And Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 1 says, And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. So David and his men return home and discover that their town had been invaded by the Amalekites. And see, now you know, I hope, why God told Saul years earlier to totally wipe out the Amalekites. This is what happens when one doesn't obey God. He didn't do it. Saul was foolish. He thought he had a better way than God. And here you see the results of his better way. No one has a better way than God, even if God's way doesn't make sense to us. Verse 2, And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive. And you can only imagine what was going through their minds. They came home to a ransacked city and loved ones who had been kidnapped. They expected to see their loved ones, but instead, this is what they got. Unexpected problems. Unexpected tragedies. We all have them. And we will have them. Unpleasant surprises are inevitable. The question is, how do we handle unexpected trouble like this? 4. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. This disaster drained David and his men. They had nothing left. This is what you would call despair. And the situation certainly appears to be hopeless. And that's why they have no strength. 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved. And it says, every man for his sons and for his daughters. So blaming David is what they did, even though blaming David isn't going to solve the problem. But they're angry. And often, instead of looking for a biblical solution, people will look for someone to blame. If someone needs to repent of a sin that caused trouble, then they need to repent. But what's needed in a situation like this is to look for a biblical response or a biblical solution. Let's look at the last part of verse 6. While everybody is blaming David, it says, But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. If your good time friends abandon you because times are tough, remember Jesus Christ is there for you. When David had nowhere to turn, and no one to turn to, he didn't kill himself. He didn't do drugs. He didn't fill himself with booze. He remembered the best friend that he had was God. And he drew close to God. And God gave him strength to carry on. 7. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray you, bring me here the ephod. And Abiathar brought from there the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Before doing anything, David prays for God's guidance. It's always important to pray. But when the pressure is on and you're in trouble and therefore you're not thinking straight, it's even more important to pray. When under stress, pray before you make any decisions at all. Verse 9, so David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Bezer, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Bezer. David began this mission with 600 men, but it wasn't long before one-third of his men bailed out because of exhaustion. And you know, that sort of thing could really send someone into a spiritual tailspin if they were not close to God. Losing one-third of your fighting men when you're on a mission, you better be close to God. That's a setback. You know, you make a commitment to do what is right, and it's fresh at first, right? But then unexpected problems come in. They always do. It's like getting hit with a 2x4. It can really stun you, depending on how severe it is. But that's when you have to be close to God. 11, and they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. David had enough troubles of his own. He was on a very important mission, but he took time to help a stranger. There's one good reason to be nice to someone. If they need someone to be nice to them, that's a good enough reason. 12. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him. For he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and 3 nights. And David said to him, To whom belong you? And where are you from? He said, I'm a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. To those in America and elsewhere who are listening to this, who would ridicule the Word of God as being old-fashioned and outdated, I would say, I would be thankful that I live in a country whose laws have been based upon this book. This book says, love thy neighbor as thyself. And that's why David, the man of God, helped this poor stranger. And that's why his pagan companions, the Amalekites, left him to die alone as soon as he became an inconvenience, because they don't follow the Bible. 14, we made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongs to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, Can you bring me down to this company? And he said, Swear to me by God that you will neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring you down to this company. The Amalekites tossed this man aside because they think he was not worth the bother. But this discarded man was much more valuable than they thought. At least to David he was. You know, when society starts scrapping the weak, they are robbing themselves. In some way, it will come back to haunt that society. 16. And when he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing, because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. Oh, the Amalekites are having a great time, aren't they? Because they think they've gotten away with their sin. They are very short-sighted, and they are also self-deceived. And the world is filled with short-sighted, self-deceived, moral reprobates who think they're getting away with their sin because things are pretty good right now. 17. And David smote them from the twilight even to the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered, all that the Amalekites had taken, and David rescued his two wives. And there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drove before those other cattle and said, "This is David's spoil." The Amalekites had their fun, but it didn't last very long. And as for God's people, you know, the Bible says weeping may last for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Being a bad person, doing bad things, committing sin is not worth it in the long run. Living for God is always worth it. It takes faith, because the benefit often is not seen right away. But you can believe God, it will be worth it. 21. And David came to the 200 men which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he greeted them. These 200 men, remember, did not have the strength to help fight. But they're glad for their partners and what they were able to accomplish. All Christians should be happy for the good that is accomplished among all Christians, even if there are times when we would like to do more, but we can't. 22. Then answered all the wicked men and men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, "Because they went not with us, we will not give them anything of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man and his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart." These men were wicked by God's estimation because they would not share. They didn't care that 200 men had been physically unable to help. Laziness doesn't deserve a reward, but there should be compassion to those who can't do their fair share, as it were. 23. Then David said, "You shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord has given us, who has preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand." David says, God is the one who gave us our families and our goods, and now we must use them in a way that is pleasing to God. A Christian should never use the things that God has given them in a way that is displeasing to God. And so David says, God has helped us, and now we need to help our friends. God's goodness should stir up our goodness towards others. There should be no such thing ever as a mean Christian, as an uncaring Christian, when we consider all that God has done for us through Jesus Christ.